Good morning, Boker Tov. Today's class is called Geula, the first war and the last war. Just a little spoiler disclaimer, I'm not going to be talking about Putin, I'm not going to be talking about the Ukraine, or Zelensky, or Biden, or the price of gas, not because it's not interesting, it's fascinating, but because I want to talk about a very different war. The first war we ever fought as a nation. What is the first war post-Exodus, post-Yitzhak Mitzrayim, that we fought as a group?
Amalek.
Source number one. Vayavo Amalek vayilachem im Yisrael berefidim. Very strange war. I'm going to go through source three. I'm skipping two for a second with you, kind of quickly. And I'm going to gather one, two, three questions about this very strange first war. Source 3. Vayomer Moshe Yoshua, bachar lanu anashim, v'tzehi lachem b'amalek, machar. Yoshua, let's go to war. Oh, how about tomorrow? Here's Amalek. They're coming at us with a double-edged sword, and we're going to go put on our jammies and go to sleep and go to fight machar. Question number one, why are we fighting Amalek machar? Why not hayom? Like we have so many things to do in the meantime. It's not like we have an army anyway that we have to galvanize our kochot. Question number one, why machar? Question number two, same pasuk. Anochi nitzav al rosh hagiva. Moshe says, you go fight, I'm going to go on the hilltop. Ma pitom, you fought Paro one-on-one. Why do you have to go spend this army battle on the hilltop? What a funny place for Moshe Rabbeinu to be. Question number three, umateh ha'elokim beyadi. And while I'm on that hilltop, I'm going to be holding the mate. I'm going to be holding my staff. I mean, if you're on the hilltop, it's a good strategic location to shoot some arrows down to Amalek. Why don't you take something else? I mean, you know, we have to, you know, do our best. So those are some of the technical questions. Why tomorrow? Why in the hilltop? Why a stick? And then we all know what happens. Moshe Rabbeinu goes onto the hilltop. Aharon holds one arm up. Hu holds up the other arm. And he's like this for the duration of the entire battle. Source 3, end of Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayihi yadav, and his arms were... Now, what would you call this position? I left you a blank, because I didn't want to show you. But what would you call this? What is like the best caption for this image of Aharon on one side, Hur on the other side, holding up Moshe's hand, staff next to him on the hilltop, while tomorrow everybody else is fighting. And he did this at Bo HaShemesh until the sun came down. What would you call that? I'm not sure what I would call this. What were his hands? Vayhi Yadav? Okay, so this is question number four. What is this outstretched position called when Moshe Rabbeinu is on the mountain? So that's the war. And says the Ramban in source number four on this war, regarding this war. And here's where I got my title from. Ki ha-milchama min ha-mishpacha hazot. This war with these family members of ours, because Amalek, it's like our cousins. Who's Amalek? How are we related to Amalek? Who's Amalek? Gucci, Gucci, Amalek. He's the grandson of
Esav.
Good. Source number two. V'timna haita pilegesh le'elifaz ben Esav. Amalek is the grandchild of Esav. Says Ramban, we know that family very well. Hamilchama source for im ha-mishpacha hazot, and the war with that family, hi harishona v'ha'achona le'Yisrael. Pay close attention, because I'm going to take questions when I'm done, because I got 40 minutes, I got so much to do with you. It's the first war that we're ever going to fight, and pay close attention, because it's the last war you're ever going to fight. Ki amalek mizaro shel Esav. We just saw in source number two, Amalek is the grandchild of Esav. Umimeno ba eleinu hamilchama bereshit goyim. It's the bereshit of our war. Amalek is also called bereshit, and it's the acharit war. Umizaro shel Esav ha'elanu galut v'achorban ha'acharon. And as we all know, the galut of Edom is going to be the last galut. So pay close attention to this war. Take good notes. V'kasher yunutzach ha'u. And just as he was vanquished back then, v'chalosh hu v'amim rabim asher ito, mimeno nosha la'olam. If you know how to conquer and vanquish Amalek on a hilltop with a stick tomorrow, Okay? Then you will know the strategy at the end of time. והנה, כל אשר עשו משה ויהושע ממך בראשונה, anything that Yehoshua and Moshe did back then, יעשו אליהו הנביא ומשיח בן יוסף עם זרעם. Exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. The stick tomorrow on a hilltop is what Mashiach and Mashiach ben Yosef and Eliyahu Navi are going to do at the end of days. Ve'al ken hitametz Moshe bedavar. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu expended so much effort in this war on a mountaintop without a bow and arrow with a stick tomorrow. So let's take a look at this war. And let's see what happened here. Where are we? We are not just on a battlefield. We are what I call on a university campus. This war takes place in a city called Rephidim. And we know that the Jewish people had 1, 2, 3, 4, 42 stops, 42 tachanot, 42 journeys in our 40 years in Mitzrayim. Says Rabbi Nachman, which I don't have for you here, but he says it in Likutei Moharan, just like Am Yisrael and Mitzrayim made 42 stops until they reached Eretz Yisrael, and each stop is like a university campus. It's a campus, and there's something you're supposed to learn and extract from that campus. So too, you, each of us individually, we have our 42 stops in life. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like a geographic location where you travel to. It could be like a realization. It could be a transition. It could be a breakdown. It could be a aha moment where you two make 42 stops in life. And they could be under the same rooftop in West Rogers or in Skokie or whatever. But you two have 42 journeys in life. So on this particular journey, which I think was number 5 or 6 on their travelings, we are in the university campus of Rephidim. And what exactly are we supposed to learn here? Source number 5. Vayusu kol adat bnei Yisrael mimidbar Sin lemaseihem al pi Hashem vayichanu berefidim. I happen to love this particular campus of Rephidim, even though we fought here with Amalek and we were only here for 2.5 days, because it happened on the 23rd day of Iyar, which is my birthday. So I will accept balloons later, Beruspi chocolate I also like. And the events that are about to unfold, they unfolded on Chaf Gimel Iyar, which is why this is a very topic very, very close to my heart. And let's take a microscope on this day of Chaf Gimel Iyar. And let's take a look at what happened there. Vayarev ha'am, source number 5, Moshe vayimu tnu lanu mayim benishte. They started fighting because... it's not mine. Because there was no water. Actually, says Rav Hirsch, if you take a close look at the end of Pasuk Aleph, en mayim lishtot ha'am. As yesh mayim or en mayim? No, yesh mayim. אבל אין מים לשתות העם. יש מים. There's enough water, but not like for 3 months for 3 million people. Maybe for like 6 days, okay? But not for 3 months. אז יש עם, אבל אין מים לשתות את העם. Says Rav Hirsch, there's water, but it's not like Lake Michigan, okay? It's like a pond, a creek, something in Rephidim. And Am Yisrael started to get a little bit nervous, and they started to fight with Moshe. So Hashem says, Moshe, I had such a gorgeous plan A. Well, it's not going to happen. I'll tell you plan A in a second. Yala, Moshe, plan B. Ma'isele, ha'masele, Hashem, what are you going to do? They're going to stone me. Next page, Pasuk Hei. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, avo, avo, avo. Moshe, go ahead. Just leave them alone. Yeah. Leave them. They'll be okay. I'll watch them. You go. Take the zekanim. Take your stick. Remember the one that you hit the yo'o? And go, where should I go? Hineni omed lefanecha sham al atzur b'chorev. Go, it's a few miles. Go to Chorev. Huh? Go to Har Sinai. You're not supposed to be there for 6 more days until Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Hikita batzur v'yetzu mimeno mayim v'shatam v'yaske. In other words, go to Har Sinai. Leave Bnei Yisrael here. Leave them. I'll watch over them. I'll babysit. You go to Chorev, go to Har Sinai, take the zakenim. If you take your stick, you will see me there on a big boulder, hit the rock. The hitting of the rock took place on my birthday. And it's all the same day. And the water will flow, and for a few miles, you'll basically take your stick, you'll scratch the earth like this, and wherever you go, the water will flow towards Bnei Yisrael. Wow, so cool. But it was supposed to be a lot more romantic. This is plan B. Plan A was supposed to be, okay, you'll stay in Rephidim for 4, 5, top 6 days, not more. Because Rosh Chodesh Sivan, a week after my birthday, we have to already be at Har Sinai. So they will be a little bit thirsty. Instead of 8 cups a day, they have 3 cups a day. And then they will go to Har Sinai, in the same mountain on which I reveal myself in the Torah. They will get water. They will always have the association of Torah and water. It's so romantic. It's so intimate. It's so beautiful. But no, Moshe, that's plan A. Plan A is not going to work. Plan B is going to go into action. And that's what he did. Says Rav Hirsch. You know what? And I printed the Rav Hirsch with you in source number 6. It's in Hebrew. The English I like a little better. They're both translations from the German. So I'm going to do it with you outside a little bit in English. There's 3 things we were supposed to learn in this Rephidim University, the core curriculum, Rephidim 101. There's 3 things we were supposed to learn here on my birthday, on Chaf Gimel Iyar, when Hashem implemented Plan B. The first thing you were supposed to learn, nature is a creation of God, and God is not bound by it. I created nature. It's my toy. Nature doesn't tell me what to do. I will tell nature what to do. Nature is my creation. It's my toys. I made it. I'm not bound by the laws of nature. I created them. I don't have to follow any of the laws of nature. They have to follow me. Like the stick, where you make scratches in the ground and the water will follow you from a rock. That's the first lesson, says Rav Hirsch. You have to learn it. And the Rephidim is where you learn it. Where you get water from a rock, from a couple of miles down, from Har Sinai. Number 2. I have unlimited powers over nature. If I want the rock to make balloons, it can make balloons. If I want the rock to make doves, it's going to make doves. If I want the rock to make water, it's going to make water. If I want the rock to make nothing, it's going to make nothing. If I want the rock to just sit there, it's going to sit there. If I want the rock to make spiders, it's going to make spiders. I have limitless control over nature. That's lesson number 2 in the core curriculum of Rephidim University. Lesson number 3, you, Am Yisrael, especially Ms. Yitzchak, because it's her birthday, the mission of the Jewish people is to raise yourself above the force of nature. Don't be so small like a worm in front of this big, mighty thing called nature. It's my toy. I made it. I created it. I tell the rock what to do. The rock is not going to tell me what to do. The power of Amalek. And that's where Amalek happens on my birthday, Chaf Gimel Iyar. It's where Amalek happens in the Rephidim. Because Amalek is the counterforce to that lesson that we are supposed to learn in Rephidim. Amalek has no problem with God. God can be. And I'll show it to you soon in the Psukim. They have no problem with God. What they have a problem with is, I just don't want you to really believe that God sees you and can change circumstances in your favor. He doesn't see you so good. He has cataracts. Okay? He has cataracts. You're laughing. It's not a dramatic joke. You'll see. It's exactly from the Psukim. He has like a divine cosmic cataract, and he doesn't see you so good. That's the Amalek philosophy. That's the Amalek mentality. Where does it come from? So you and I know before Purim, when we have to go to shul, and we have to hear Parshat Zachor, source number 7, we know that the in the parsha, it tells us, when we read Parshat Zachor, source 7, Asher korcha baderech. When Amalek happened upon you, never forget that Amalek happened upon you. Kara, says Rashi. What is it, kara? Kara, kara. Amalek happened upon you. What's kara? Happened, like happenstance. Amalek is not just a nation, is not just the grandchildren of Esav. Amalek is a philosophy. Amalek is an attitude. Amalek is a Weltanschauung, like a worldview, that says, Mami, kara, mama kara, kara. Ma, this bad thing that happened to me, Mami kara. you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, mommy. You should have voted Republican. Of course the price of gas. I'm not making political statements. But Amalek, kara, you should have worn better shoes. Kara, so he stepped on you. Had you kara, ze mami, ze kore, you know. You woke up on the wrong side of the bed, ze kore. You should have had a better travel agent. You should have had a better real estate agent. Now you're stuck with this hunk of bricks. Ze kore, mami, ze kore, you know. It just that happened. If you would have booked better, if you would have worn better shoes, if you didn't listen to your ze, if you would have listened to the, if you had you taken a fifth opinion, had you taken more folic acid. This already makes a hole in our kishkes, right? Had you taken more vitamin C, you look at this bottle of vitamin C like, oh, it has so much koyach over you. Had you only, oh my God, this whole philosophy of had you, coulda, shoulda, woulda, but didn't, hack! Is enough to make an ulcer in your stomach. It's the worldview of Amalek. Honey, you're living in a world of nature, okay? So if you're going to do, like, if you're not going to wear this kind of shoes, so of course you got like this. If you didn't choose the best real estate agent, of course you got stuck with this lousy property. If you would have listened to your, like that, my mother-in-law, father and sister-in-law, life would have turned out different. You don't have the right ichus. You don't have the right connections. You didn't buy the best quality vitamins. What's the only way to fight this worldview? It's okay, you don't have to do like this. It's okay, I'm not in the classroom, I don't take attendance, I don't care sources, no sources. Soon, in the first semester, I have to start taking attendance. The best way to fight Amalek is never Hayom, it's always Machar. Why? Machar is the opposite worldview. What does Machar say? Machar, it means there's a hayom and there's a etmol. Now, you are not in machar, you are hayom. Look, I don't know what's going to be tomorrow, but if there's a machar, it means there's a continuation to the story. There's a next chapter. There's another chapter. There's an author to the story who wrote and orchestrated. There's a narrator. It's not just left up to happenstance. There's an author. There's a yesterday. There's a today, mommy. There's also a tomorrow. Okay. And there's an author to this narrative. Okay. And he's orchestrating my whole story? Like he knows, yeah, he's got this, he's got the outline. You know, your English teacher makes you have your outline ready 3 months before you write the paper. Ah, so the outline, it's already written. Okay, mommy, since the 60s of creation, the whole outline is already written. Ah, okay. Whew. The antithesis of kara, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, so it happened to you, is machal. And that's why you must only fight Amalek. I'm looking because I have to see how much time I have left with you. The antithesis of Amalek is machal. That is why who fights Amalek? Machal. She makes a party, and she says, come to my party. And when he comes to the party, she says, Machal, come to another party. Mize? Huh? Esther Amalka. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, shekol, which you don't have, because I couldn't pull it up on my program, shekol zara shel Amalek lemedim lipo lemachar. Amalek always is vanquished tomorrow. Lama? Because tomorrow is not just a time on the calendar. Tomorrow is a worldview. It's a way of looking at life that says there's an author to your story. And there's a yesterday, and there's a day today, and there's a tomorrow also. I'm going to take you with me into the elevator. I'm going to press the down button. I'm going to take you 10 feet underground. Okay? And I'm going to show you what we just learned in a very structured, fashion. I'm going to learn with you a piece of the Siftei Chaim, Rabbi Chaim Friedlander, who was a student of Rav Dessler. He's a Ramchal expert, who takes what we said and really explains the Jewish hashkafa regarding coincidence, it just happened, and how much do I gotta do to make sure that the desired result and outcome is according to what I need, and how much do I just gotta stand back and say, okay, God, I mean, it's like, you're in control. Maybe if I would have taken the folic acid, maybe if I would have taken more vitamin C, maybe if I would have gotten a 15th opinion, maybe if I wouldn't have taken her advice, maybe if I would have been more cautious, maybe if I would have been more careful, then I wouldn't have... Like, where do you draw the line? How do you balance that? And machal, there's an author to your story. There's a yesterday, there's a today, there's a tomorrow. How do you balance that? So in your source packet, it's called page 5. I don't know if it's page 5, but I called it page 5. Says the Sifti Chaim, based on sources in Chazal. Amar Rabbi Chanina, it looks like this. Based on the Gemara and Masechet Chulin. Ein adam nokef etzba'o milemata, ela im ken machrizin alav milemala. You don't bump your finger down here on planet Earth unless Hashem has already decreed it up in Shamayim. The same is true for an ingrown toenail and everything else in between. You don't bump your finger here on Earth unless Hashem decreed it up in Shamayim. How do I know? Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem mitzaadei gaver konanu. Hashem prepares the footsteps of man. You say it every morning in Berkot HaShachar. Baruch Ata Hashem hamechin mitzaadei gaver. You prepare the footsteps of man. That's in essence what you're saying. Kol hakoreh le'adam be'olamo, v'gam pu'ulot ha'ne'osot klapav. Anything that happens to you, which is out of your control, like God did it, okay? And anything that happens to you because somebody else did it to you. Anything that happens to you, it's out of your control. Okay, it's like, okay, like that was God. Fine, okay. The house flooded over because, I mean, like, that's a flood, that's rain. Like, that's not somebody, that's God, right? Or anything, kol pu'ulot ha'nasot klapav al yedei adam acher. And those things which happen to you because a person did it to you, shu'bal bechiran, they have free choice. Hen letov, hen lemutav. Whether it's good things that happen to you or bad things that happen to you. Kore, it happens. Kivan shehechrizu bekach gazu alav milemala. It's because God decreed that that would happen to you. It's a straight up gemara in Masechet Chulin. Kloma, let's say, now here's going to get a very graphic example. Reuven horeget Shimon. Reuven kills Shimon. Both Jews. Mitzad echad Reuven asa mibchirato hara'a. So Reuven had free choice. Reuven killed Shimon. So what are you going to say? Like, that was from God? How could you say that? Reuven killed Shimon. How could you say that was from God? If you ask God, did Reuven do right? God would say, no, Reuven will do wrong. And Reuven will get terribly punished for killing Shimon. He will get a horrible punishment. Aval, meidach, Shimon neherag. But that which Shimon is no longer alive, kiban shekach nigzar alav milemala, is because it was decreed in Shamayim. Omnam, afal pi shekaamu Reuven mekabel et onsho. So yes, Reuven will get his punishment from God because he made a bad decision. But that ein zu stira, it does not contradict gzera al Shimon sheyamot, that there was a decree from heaven that this had to happen to Shimon. V'kach mevaer haRamban. And the Ramban says this very clear in this commentary in Bereshit. V'da v'haven. Double language. You got to know this. You got to understand it. Ki ha'ish nechtam v'nechtam b'Rosh Hashanah. If on Rosh Hashanah of the previous year, Hashem decreed this person lahariga, that they have to be, go back upstairs. Lo yinake halistim. The robber or the thief or the murderer who will do it to you, he will not get off free. He will pay the price. Bavur shal sama shenigzar alav. Even though he did exactly what Hashem wanted to take place. Hu rasha, he is wicked. V'damo mitzad ha-rotzeach yivukash. And Hashem will demand that he pay the price in olam haba. U'me'idach. But on the other hand, continues the Rabban, אנחנו אומרים ששימון מת כיוון שכך נגזר עליו מלמעלה. But Shimon died not because Reuven made a bad choice. Shimon died because that is what God decreed. It's not, you were on the wrong side of town. You know, it's not such a good place for, you know, a person to be. You should have, you know, taken Krav Maga and looked back. I'm into Krav Maga. It's okay. You can take Krav Maga. Okay. That's very good. I like it. I took a few lessons myself. Okay. But if I would have taken more, maybe I would have been better protected. No, no. הרי ההוצאה לפועל של הגזרה תלויה מותנית בשיקולי הבחירה של רובן. Now, Reuben made a bad choice. Yes, he made a bad choice. But the two lived together. Reuben made a bad choice. And here we're going to go to the next level. Hashem says, whose bad bechira can I use to bring about the consequence that I need? I need this person to have his last day on earth. Who's going to make a bad choice? You're about to make a really bad choice. I'll have you execute your bad choice upon him. It could have been, says the Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit, הרבה הורגים יש לו למקום. Hashem is a lot of killers. הרבה דובים ואריות יש לו למקום בעולמו. Hashem is a lot of דובים. Bears, אריות, lions. Hashem is a lot of bears and lions. Hashem could have made it come about through, this is not such a good profile, but okay. Hashem could have made it come about through this one, or through that bear, or through this lion, or through this bear, or through this lion. Hashem has plenty of bears and plenty of lions. So he chose this bear, because God sees this bear is about to make a bad choice. I'm going to use your bad choice on him. It's not that you happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. This is illustrated, this concept that we are seeing here, that that which is supposed to happen to you is going to happen, and it's not happenstance. Yo! If only I wasn't her friend, if only I wasn't her neighbor, if only I lived in a says the Sifte Chaim. One of the 613 mitzvot in the Torah is if you build a house for yourself, page 7, כי תבנה בית חדש ועשית מעקה לגגך. You know those houses in Israel where you could like take a walk on the rooftop, or maybe you have like an elevated porch or an elevated deck? We all know one of the 630 mitzvot is that you have to make a, what is it called? A fence, a gate, okay? So you don't fall off the roof. It's very logical, but it's also one of the 613 mitzvot, and there's measurements. If it's above a certain amount of tfachim, if it's below, you don't have to. It's above, you have to. ולא תשים דמים בביתך. There should not be blood upon your house. כי יפול הנופל ממנו, because the faller is going to fall off the is going to fall from it. I just made up a noun, okay? כי יפול הנופל ממנו, because page 7 on the bottom, because the faller is going to fall from your house. I made up a funny word, but it's I'm translating the Torah. לכאורה היה על התורה לכתוב לא תשים דמים בביתך כי יפול האדם ממנו. Really, the pasuk should have said, make a gate around your roof so that the guy shouldn't fall down. Ki yipol ha'adam. But the Torah doesn't call him a guy. It doesn't call him a person. Ki yipol ha'nofel. So the faller shouldn't fall down. Why are you calling him a faller? He's just eating his popsicle. He's eating his shawarma. He didn't fall yet. Why are you calling him faller? Say, so the guy who's eating his popsicle and he's in La La Land, he shouldn't fall down. Why are you calling him a faller? He didn't fall yet. It's a big question. Chazal asked this question, Gemara Masechet Shabbat. Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael, page 8 on top, Ki yipol ha'nofel mimeno? Why are you calling him a nofel? Hare lo nafal. U lo nafal. The guy didn't fall yet. Why are you calling him a faller? He didn't fall. Call him a guy. ראוי זה ליפול מששת ימי בראשית. Because it was already written in the 6 days of creation. Remember I told you the outline that you have to write for your English teacher before you write the essay and you write it a month in advance? כי ראוי, גמרא מסכת שבת, כי ראוי זה ליפול מששת ימי בראשית, שהרי לא נפל והכתוב קרא נופל. He didn't fall. And the pasuk says, יאללה, he's a faller. Says Rashi, שרק שניתנה תורה עדיין לא נפל. When the story is written, the guy didn't fall yet. והכתוב קרא נופל? Why are you calling him a faller? Because already since the 6 days of creation, Hashem already decreed, mommy, this ככה, it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen from his rooftop, it's going to happen from her rooftop, it's going to happen from the ladder, it's going to happen from לא יודעת מה. It's going to happen. It didn't just chaval. I shouldn't have gone that day. I should have stayed home. I should have. It's Amalek. It's Amalek. It's Amalek. Yes, of course, you have to be cautious. How cautious? As cautious as the Torah commands you to be. That's how cautious. Buckle your seatbelt, wear a helmet. I buckle my seatbelt, so do my kids. I wear a helmet if I ride. I can't fit a helmet over this, but I don't mind anyway. But I buckle my seat. All my kids, they wear helmets. Even if they have black hats and everything, you put your black hat in a shopping bag, attach it to your handlebar, and you put a helmet. Okay. Yeah, if you want, you wear knee pads, you wear elbow pads, everything. The amount of hishtadlut that is expected by Right? Whatever the experts say, that's the amount of ishtadlut you do. And then when something happens, it's been decreed since the 6 days of creation. I'm going to tell you a story. I have 7 more minutes. Perfect. That's all I need. On the 5th night of Hanukkah, a couple of years ago, there's a family who was living in Seattle, Washington, whose last name is Estrin. Anybody familiar with the Estrin story? No? Chaya Estrin and Ellie Estrin? No? So it's a family we know personally. My husband stayed at their house when he was officiating a wedding in Seattle. He got to know Rabbi Estrin. Chaya Estrin, who's like one of the heroes of the story I'm about to tell you, she wasn't my student. Her sister was my student. So in any case, the Estrins get a phone call from the doctor. She was 5 months pregnant with baby number 6, with child number 6. And they said, look, we did the level 2 ultrasound on you, and it's a big problem. This thing that you're pregnant with is not really like a viable thing. It's just like a thing, but it's not viable. Here's why. You know how the left, you know how the heart has like 4 sections, left atrium, right atrium, left ventricle, right ventricle, 9th grade bio? So like the kid doesn't have all of them. He's like missing some ventricles, okay? Okay, so the kid like has half a heart. Okay. And you know how there's the pulmonary vein and pulmonary artery? You guys remember arteries and veins? Arteries take blood away from the heart, okay? So the artery that takes blood to the lungs, where it can become oxygenated, it's not there. So like there's no blood going to the lungs. And you know the pulmonary vein that takes blood from the lungs, nice and oxygenated, back to the heart? It's rewired into the liver. Okay, so like the highway of the blood work is all messed up. And furthermore, we did the ultrasound and this creature that you're pregnant with, it doesn't have a stomach. So you know like when you eat, okay, the food gathers in your stomach, we don't see any. And you know how people have a spleen? I don't know what you have a spleen for. It's important, okay? You need a spleen. I know, 9th grade bio, I remember. But so the kid, we don't see a spleen either. And you know how there's a trachea and esophagus? So, you know, your kid's body figured, you know, why have two if you could have one? And it's one. So it's like, it's a big problem. This creature is really not viable, and he's not even with a full heart. So we strongly recommend that you terminate this pregnancy. So Rabbi Eli and Mrs. Chaya Estrin did the research that they did, asked the shailas that they had to ask, and I'm telling you a very long story and very, very short, said to the doctor something like this. They didn't use these words, but they said something like this. So we are the offspring of a people that got water from a rock. And if God can give water from a rock, then this incomplete heart with incomplete vessels can live. They got a lot of slack for that. Cardiac team was very upset. I'm making a very long story. They spoke for the friendship circles a couple of weeks ago here in Chicago over Zoom. I've heard their story many times, but they spoke here in Chicago a couple of weeks ago over Zoom. Fascinating. But I'm making a very long story very short. He said, what are you talking about? Kid has half a heart. Blood isn't even going to the lungs, and from the lungs it's going to the liver. He doesn't have a stomach. It's a law. It's not a human. It's a thingamajig, but it's not. You have to terminate. And she said, maybe not smiling, maybe with tears, but she said, maybe not in these words, but with this hashkafa, we are the children who drank water from a rock. How much water is there in a rock already? Even if you have a Vitamix like me and you put rocks inside, zelo. There's no water in a rock. But if God can make water from a rock, he can maybe make life from this heartless child with a veinless child, stomachless child, spleenless child. Okay, it was time for her to give birth. She went to the hospital. They said the kid isn't going to survive labor. He's not going to make it. He's just not going to make it. He's going to give his first cry. There's no oxygen. There's no nothing. He's not going to make it. Please sign. And they said, no, we don't sign because we drink water from a rock. The heart is not going to tell us what to do. God will tell the heart what to do. Rav Hirsch said it. The child is born and didn't die. The doctor said, look at the sun. You see the sun out the window? By the time that sun sets, your baby's life's going to set too. And they're holding this kid, slightly purple already, obviously not good oxygenated blood. Kid didn't die. Kid didn't die. She said, can I feed my kid? He said, we didn't see his stomach. We didn't see his stomach. Where's the food going to go? And the trachea and the esophagus is one. The food is going to go to the lungs. What are you going to do? So she couldn't feed the baby. And the following day, they said, you know, will somebody operate? They said, no, it's a lost case. She said, can I take my baby home? Go. I didn't bring a car seat. Can you give me a car seat? They said, you don't need a car seat. Baby's going to die on the way home anyway.
Oh, my God.
Okay. They gave the baby... Mm-hmm. I'm only telling you the not-so-scary parts. They gave the baby one dose of prostaglandins, which keeps the ductus arteriosus open, which is how the baby breathes when it's in utero. Now, I know of stories of other children who had to be like in an incubator with ductus, with the prostaglandins, you know, given through an IV to keep the baby alive. They gave the kid one dose. He lived like this for 4 days until somebody finally agreed to operate on the kid. Ends up being he has a stomach. He has a condition called heterotaxy, where all the organs are on the wrong side of the body. So when the ultrasound technician was looking for the stomach over here, wherever it is, I don't know, okay, it wasn't there because it's on the other side. Kid had a spleen, but it was on the other side because the kid has heterotaxy. Didn't have a whole heart. All the raw wiring was all kaput, was all wired in the wrong place. And kid had a heart surgery number one, heart surgery number two, where he went into cardiac arrest, developed cerebral palsy as a result. The kid today is alive and well. I don't know how good your source package came out, but there's a picture of him on the last page. Is it? You have a clear picture? No. You have a last page? Looks like this. You have a pic? You have like a pencil sketch like that. Okay. The transfer didn't happen. His name is Nisi, like Netanel Nisi. Okay, nickname means like my miracle. Today he is 5 years old. Last August, the mom and dad wrote a beautiful book, which you can get at Kesher Stam, called Of Medicine, Miracles, and Mindsets, where they go through the whole entire story and also give help to parents who find themselves in a similar place. And they live currently in Miami, Florida, because that is where his cardiac team is. The local news station, like Fox News or something, did a piece on him when he turned 3 because he was such a miracle. There's nothing logical about this child. This kid is the most popular kid in his whole school. He is the most beloved kid in his whole school. He's really funny, really sociable, and has some delays, has some difficulties, has a feeding tube, is in a wheelchair, is in a walker, learning how to walk, has OT, has PT, has speech therapy, but he's alive. He's alive. And what I want to leave you with today is the knowledge that you are a member of a nation that drank water from a rock, that ate bread from heaven. You are a member of a nation that fights wars tomorrow. You are a member of a nation that has little kids running around. I know one in West Rogers Park also, by the way, that have half a heart. And they're running around. You're a member of a nation whose final battle, remember the first war is the last war, whose final battle is to raise yourself above the laws of nature, to look at nature and to laugh, and to say, you will not dictate to me what to do. My God, who does not have cataracts, will dictate to you what to do. Why do I keep on saying cataracts? Because what is the oath? I know I skipped a few pages because I'm short on time and you have to go eat your lunch already. What is the oath that Hashem took right before we close the chapter in Refidim? Ki yad al kesya milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midodo. My hand is on the throne of God. Right? I will be at war with Amalek until the end of time. And we all know Hashem's name is cut in half over there. And Rashi says, because Hashem's name is not complete. Says the Ha'emek Davar, which you have in your source packet. You can look it up closer. Yad al-Kesiyah. The throne, the hand is on the throne of God. Says the Ha'emek Davar, the Netziv. You know whose hand is on God's throne? Amalek. Amalek's hand is on God's throne and he's doing this to God. He's covering God's eyes. But he's only covering God... half of Hashem's name. Hashem's name is Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. Yad al-Kes-Ya. Yud-Hei, okay, you know, we're going to let Hashem have Yud-Hei, but not Vav-Hei. What's Vav-Hei? Yud-Hei, it's the letters of Hashem that created the world. Hashem created Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Yud-Hei. Okay, beseder, check, check. We can have Hashem in the world. But Vav-Hei? Vav hey? No. Vav hey, it's the letters with which Hashem interacts with the world, either through nature or through miraculous means. It's the letters with which Hashem, that Amalek says, Yad, we're covering Hashem, we're giving you cataracts. We want it to look like you're not really interacting with the world, that everything that happens, it happens. Sorry, mommy, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Kara, kara. Hashem says, I'm at war with this. And in Refidim, I teach you how to go to war. Now, that war can take place on your couch, on your way home from the doctor's office, late at night, on your pillow, in your living room. That war can take place anywhere. And how do you fight that war? What was question number 4? I told you there's a word I skipped in source number 3. Vahi adav, Moshe lifted up his hands and I said, I took away a word over there. What is this called? What would you call this caption? Anybody know what that word actually is? Anybody know the psukim? Vahi adav? Huh? Emunah. Emunah. It's called emunah. That's how you fight the war. You fight it machal. You fight it with the knowledge that you're in a story. There's a today, there's a yesterday. It's totally confusing, right? It makes no sense. But there's a tomorrow. And you fight it with emunah. You can fight it in any room of your house. We are a member of a nation that has kids running around. All the doctor said is not going to happen because he doesn't even have the necessary body parts to do it. And you're a member of a nation whose outline has already been written during the 6 days of creation. I bless you. Hashem should give you a lot of koach emunah on this battlefield. Thank you. Amen.